ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
There's a report that's 21 years old. Back in 1998, it was given. George Barna did it. The shocking thing to me is that the church and the world are no different. And I think I've shared this a little bit with you before. How could that be? We're supposed to be light and salt. Have been divorced among those who have been married. Born-again Christians, 27% have been divorced. Non-Christians, 23%. They're doing better. How does that happen? Watched an X-rated movie in the past 3 months. Born-again Christians, 9%. Non-Christians, 16%. Okay, did a little bit better there. Examples of similarity of attitudes between Christians and non-Christians is from his research. Feel completely or very successful in life. Born-again Christians, 58%. Non-Christians, 49%. We should feel great in life because we're at where God wants us to be. It may not always be easy, but wow. Satisfied with your life these days. Born-again Christians, 69%. Non-Christians, 68%. I don't get it. This is what he went on to say. Since more than 9 out of 10 Americans own at least one Bible and 86% call themselves Christian, you might expect people to pay homage to the deity described and followed by the Christian church. In July 1997, we asked a nationwide sample of 1,012 adults to describe the God they believe in. 2 out of 3 adults, 67%, said they believe that God is the all-knowing, all-powerful creator of the universe who rules the world today. The remaining 1/3 described their God as the total realization of personal human potential, or a state of higher consciousness that a person may reach, or said everyone is God. There are many gods, each with different power and authority, or there is no such thing as God. The remaining 5% said they did not know. That was years ago. Where do you think we're at today with all the false teaching that's going on in churches today? It's worse. How did this happen? How did the world and the church come together? It's very simple. We've moved away from the truths of God found in the Word of God, and we've been doing it for such a long time that we let the world right into the church. It's a mixed marriage, you might say, like Pergamos. And it's detrimental to the health of the church and to the health of individual Christians. And it affects people's lives. This is from Inside Edition. This is a secular news show. And this is what they had to say about one pastor's faith and what he's now saying. Joshua Harris, former pastor and the author of I Kissed Dating Goodbye, is renouncing his faith. By all the measurements that I have for defining a Christian, I'm not a Christian, Harris announced in a post on Instagram. This is what he said. My heart is full of gratitude. I wish you could see all the messages people sent me after the announcement of my divorce. They are expressions of love, though they are saddened or even strongly disapprove of the decision. I'm learning that no group has the market concerned on grace, or cornered on grace, excuse me. This week I've received grace from Christians, atheists, evangelicals, evangelicals, straight people, LGBTQ people, and everyone in between. Of course, there have also been strong words of rebuke from religious people. Well, not always pleasant. I know they are seeking to love me. There have been also been spiteful, hateful comments that angered and hurt me. The information that was left out of our announcement is that I have undergone a massive shift in regard to my faith in Jesus. The popular phrase for this is deconstruction. The biblical phrase is falling away. By all the measurements that I have for defining a Christian, I'm not a Christian. Many people tell me that there is a different way to practice faith, and I want to remain open to this, but I'm not there now. There's a different way? No, there's one way. Martin Luther said that the entire life of believers should be repentance. There's beauty in that sentiment, regardless of your view of God. I have lived in repentance for the past several years, repenting of my self-righteousness, my fear-based approach to life, the teaching of my books, my views of women in the church, and my approach to parenting, to name a few. But I specifically want to add to this list now. To the LGBTQ plus community, I want to say that I'm sorry for the views that I taught in my books and as a pastor regarding sexuality. I regret standing against marriage equality, for not affirming you and your place in the church, and for any ways that my writing and speaking contributed to a culture of exclusion and bigotry. I hope you can forgive me. To my Christian friends, I am grateful for your prayers. Don't take it personally if I don't immediately return calls. I can't join you in the morning. I don't view this moment negatively. I feel very much alive and awake and surprisingly hopeful. I believe with my sister Julian that all shall be well and all manner of thing shall be well. Wow. How do you get to that point? By not trusting what this says. It's as simple as that. I am not the author of the Bible. What does that mean? It means I do not have the authority, the right, to change what God has said. He's the author. I have to follow what he says. I may not always like it, but I know he's right. And the sad thing is, he's trying to find another way to practice his faith. Believe whatever you want. What is that religion based on? Feelings. Whoa, whoa, feelings. Feel a song coming on. That's what it's about. How I feel. I guarantee you, the Christian life is not how I feel. It's what God has said. Does it evoke feelings in me? Absolutely. Sometimes there's great joy. Sometimes he's convicting me. There's a lot of different feelings, but I got to follow what he's saying. Some of you have heard about the worship leader who renounced his faith. Marty Sampson, prolific worship music writer, did songs for Hillsong Worship, Hillsong United, Delirious, and Young Free. He was from Sydney. He first started leading worship with Hillsong in the late 1990s. However, this past week or two, he took to Instagram to inform his followers that I'm genuinely losing my faith. And this is the post. It says that they cleaned up the punctuation here, but this is what he wrote. Time for some real talk. I'm genuinely losing my faith, and it doesn't bother me. Like what bothers me now is nothing. I'm so happy now, so at peace with the world. It's crazy. It is. If you're at peace with this world, you're crazy. This world is insane. This is a soapbox moment, so here I go. How many preachers fall? Many. No one talks about it. How many miracles happen? Not many. No one talks about it. Why is the Bible full of contradictions? No one talks about it. How can God be love, yet send 4 billion people to a place all because they don't believe? No one talks about it. Christians can be the most judgmental people on the planet. They can also be some of the most beautiful and loving people. But it's not for me. I'm not in it anymore. I want genuine truth. Not that I just believe it kind of truth. Science keeps piercing the truth of every religion. Lots of things help people change their lives, not just one version of God. Got so much more to say, but for me, keeping it real, unfollow if you want, I've never been about living my life for others. All I know is what's true to me right now, and Christianity just seems to be like another religion at this point. I can go on, but won't. Love and forgive, absolutely. Be kind, absolutely. Be generous and do good to others, absolutely. Some things are good no matter what you believe. Let the rain fall, the sun will come up tomorrow. How did he get to this point? By discrediting the word of God. A lot of preachers sin, fall out of the ministry. Well, does that discredit God? Did God make them sin? No. Yeah, ministers do sin. But it's on the individual. He discredits miracles. Well, a lot of people do. Does it negate miracles? Does God still do miracles? Absolutely. He says the Bible is full of contradictions. How many of you have heard that before? How many did he list? Oh, what, zero? Why? Because there are none. You've got to take the time to investigate, like I shared with you this morning in Joshua. He talks about the judgment of God upon innocent people. What's the problem with that statement? There are no innocent people. Absolutely. All are guilty and fall short of the glory of God. There's the problem again. Why? He doesn't believe the word of God. He doesn't believe we're all guilty. He doesn't believe we're all sinners. You know, people read the Old Testament and go, oh, look, he's a God of judgment. I mean, look, you know, how the Canaanites, all those people were wiped out in the land of Canaan. What does it say back in Exodus? That God gave them 400 years to repent, and then judgment came. Before the flood, it's probably 120 years to repent as the ark was being built before judgment came. Today, since the cross, it's almost 2,000 years, but judgment is coming. Not upon innocent people. I look at Rahab in Jericho. Her and her family got saved. Why? Because they turned to the living God. And anyone else there could have been spared if they turned to God. I like this one. That he says that Christians are some of the most judgmental people around. Well, aren't you being judgmental by saying that? I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something, but it sounds like that. Why are people so upset with Christians? Because, exactly, God shines the light on their immoral lifestyle and they don't like it. Science discredits the Bible. Really. The science doesn't discredit the Bible. When Isaiah, when God says that the earth is a sphere and he hangs it on nothing, is he correct? Absolutely. I mean, many believe the earth is flat. They still do today. Boggles the mind. I don't get that one. But God said it's a sphere. Hangs it on nothing. When God speaks on scientific things, he's 100% correct. But the Bible is not a scientific book. Did you know that there are paths in the sea? The guy who discovered that was read one of the Psalms that talks about paths in the sea. And he goes, you know, I got to check that out. Those paths in the sea are still used by ships today. God said that. So here is a man who is leading millions of people, and he says you can believe whatever you want. It really doesn't matter. And I don't think this man lost his faith. I don't think he ever had it. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and then done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Those four words are the most tragic words ever spoken. I never knew you. Wow. You know, for us as Christians, guys, God saves us, brings us into the promised land. But again, there's battles in the promised land. Promised land is in heaven. It's this world we live in. And we're doing battles in this world. And there's pockets of resistance even in our own lives. Those sins, weaknesses of character, bad habits, and so on. And we're not to give in to the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're to fight against these enemies through the strength of the Lord. Not to give up, not to give in, not to, you know... J.D. Farag, his message was titled, you know, I think it was titled Battle Weary. And, you know, it was kind of interesting because I felt, yeah, that's kind of the way I feel. I'm a little battle weary now. And after that message, I was encouraged by it. And I think as we hear the Word of God, we hear the Word of God being taught, as we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, he encourages us. Don't quit. Don't give up on the battle. Because there are pockets of resistance in our lives that the Lord wants us to drive out. He wants us to destroy. And they could be a number of things. I mean, one of them could be, you know, sexual immorality. Something that people really don't want to deal with today. But it's important because we are being attacked every day in this area. And, you know, if you look at down the road, there are going to be laws that are going to tell you, You cannot speak against a certain lifestyle that God says is a sin. How are we as Christians going to live? We live unto the Lord. We're not obnoxious. We're not, you know, mean. But do we have to accept every sin? No, we shouldn't. And the thing is, with the sexual immorality, are we lusting after someone? Are we looking at pornographic websites? Are we seeing movies that we shouldn't be seeing? Are we engaging in a relationship with another person when you're married? Are you looking at magazines that are pornographic in nature? And so on. You got to drive these things out of your life because it will consume your life. Be in the Word of God. Allow the Word of God to minister to you. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you strength to stand strong in the things of God and not be tempted to do wrong. Be in fellowship with believers to encourage you and correct you even if you're wrong. You have to deal with it. You can't compromise your faith. Anger is another one, you know. Do you justify your actions? The way you respond to situations, how you treat your spouse, your friends, your family, coworkers, and so on. Don't allow anger to control your life. Allow the Holy Spirit. You have to deal with it. Lying, stealing, unforgiveness, cheating, greed, covetousness, the list can go on. You got to deal with those issues. You know, we all have things in our lives. We like to put the facade on. You know, I'm good. I walk on water. I don't. I'm just like you. You're just like me. We're human beings. We have come to Christ, but we still have these bodies of flesh that try to lead us down the wrong path. And we need to surrender to God. You know, by my house, there's the road goes, it's two lanes, and then it goes into one lane. But it's right by the Lutheran High School, and I turn right there before it goes into one lane. But several years ago, it would kind of irritate me that if I was in that right lane and someone's in the left lane at the stoplight and we start going, that they would speed up to get ahead of me so I couldn't get in the left lane. Now, granted, I wasn't trying to get in the left lane. That's not where I was going. But it would still irritate me, so I would speed up a little bit more. And they would it's like, finally, the Lord's like, what are you doing? So now I feel like I'm 90 years old, okay? So I'm at the stoplight. I cross the intersection. As soon as I cross the intersection, I put my right turn blinker on so no one freaks out and tries to go ahead of me. They still do from time to time, and I almost want to turn the blinker off and turn it the other way, but I don't. But those are little things in our lives that we could allow them to just consume us. And we have to be careful. Now, I could think, well, that's nothing. I mean, come on. Compared to all these other sins that are out there, this little thing, come. No, deal with it. God's brought it to light in your life, not just so you could see it, but so you could deal with it and give it to Him and get rid of it from your life. We need to serve the Lord faithfully with a loyal heart, willing just to obey Him as He leads us. You know, I look at the example of Paul the Apostle and his faithfulness throughout his life. Was it easy? No, he had a tough life too, but faithfulness until the end. In fact, as he's sitting in the Mamertine prison in Rome, waiting to be put to death now, he writes the second letter to Timothy. And this is what he says in chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Paul knew his life on this earth was coming to an end. And he speaks of his life as being a drink offering, that last offering. Here it is, Lord, I'm giving my life to You. I'm going to be with You soon. I know this is it. And Paul speaks of his departure. It's a Greek word that has, I love the picture that these Greek words give. This departure speaks of the unloosing of a ship from its moors. Paul's ready to sail home. I'm ready, Lord. I know this is going to be it. I'm ready to go. It speaks of the unyoking of a weary team of animals after a hard day's work. Paul finished the work that God had called him to do. He was going to enter that rest that the Lord had for him. And it's a striking of a tent, taking it down so you can move on. And Paul was going to leave this earthly tent for a mansion. He knew he was going to die. And what he's trying to do is to encourage young Timothy, this pastor, to continue on in the work, not to give up. Look at my life. Look at how I lived. I fought the good fight. I mean, I did. It's kind of like a boxer or a wrestler, but fighting against Satan. Satan tried to stop him, but Paul continued to speak the good news of Jesus. Timothy, do the same. I finished the race. The long-distance runner who finished the race that God set before him. And that's the Christian life, isn't it? Christian life is not a sprint. It's a long-distance race. And he kept the faith. Look at all those that are departing from the faith. I don't believe in Jesus anymore. I don't believe, you know, my Christian faith is, I'm done with that. I'm moving on to something else. I think you can just believe in God any way you want. Really? No, Paul kept the faith to the very end, no matter what he was going through. And understand the Mamertine prison, man, it was kind of like living in a septic tank. In the septic tank, okay? You were down below, underground. You had a little grate above. They didn't have bathrooms in there, okay? And that's where you were with other prisoners and your guards. Imagine. Paul kept the faith. You know, let me share this with you and then I'll close, because we need to evaluate our walk. And I think it's important to do that every day. Where am I, Lord? What do I need to change? What do I need to do? Have you made peace with a besetting sin in your life? Have you given up on the battle? Have you given your flesh a win by default because you didn't even show up? Because if you did, you have to repent of your sins, the sin of not fighting, and return to the battlefront. Give yourself to God afresh, because he's still there and he'll give you the victory. And here's the thing I want to remind you. God's not mad at you. He's not angry at you. He's a loving father who is reaching out to you to help you to live the life that God wants you to live. If you feel condemned, beaten up, that's not from God. How do you know that? Because Paul said there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Why? Jesus took my sin, nailed it to the cross of Calvary. He paid it in full. He took my punishment that was due me. He took it on that cross. Condemnation pushes you away from God. Conviction, the conviction that God brings to our hearts, showing us where we're at, draws us closer to him. Lord, forgive me. You know how I want to live for you. You know how I failed you. Help me, Lord, to live a life that would honor you. There's the difference between condemnation, which draws you away, and conviction, which draws you to God. Never forget that. Fight the good fight. Finish the race. Keep the faith. Don't allow the sin to control your life, these pockets of resistance. You crucify the flesh. You know, our title of our study this morning was They Did Not. They didn't drive out the enemy. It's really, the title should be The Danger of Compromise. Because that's what they did. They compromised their faith. They didn't listen to God fully. They did what they wanted, and they paid for it. And I know we can get tired, and we just don't want to fight anymore, but that little compromise will grow and grow, and it'll bring you down. The Lord is looking for servants that he can use in the work he has. He's looking for men and women who will take him at his word and step out in faith. He's not looking for necessarily very talented people. Praise God for that, at least for me. He's looking for faithful people, people who are willing to walk with him. Not perfect people, because there are none. And what God wants to do is show himself strong to his servants who will obey his word no matter what. And I'll leave you with this. Are you that person? Because we all can be. It's called surrender. Are you that person? Let's pray. Lord, thank you. So important to remember. Yeah, we've dealt with many of those big battles, but I think many times it's those little battles that we don't think are that important that we just let go and they end up overtaking our lives and hurting us. Help us to take the battle seriously. Help us to surrender our lives completely to you, Lord, and to be led by your Spirit according to your word in all that we do and all that we say. Because, Lord, our desire is to be faithful in our service to you. We're not going to be perfect. We know that. But, Lord, help us to be faithful, to follow you all the days of our life, to bring glory and honor to you, to shine the light of Jesus in a world that's in darkness. Thank you, Lord. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.